the News was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, Reading. This is Ted Leidy, co-host for Carl, hosting for Carl and Linda Bott today, guest host, I guess. My co-host today is Dr. Doug McConnell, one of my very best friends in Reading and a great community leader. Of course, I got Bad Bob on my side. He's going to be leading.
You're just so eager this morning.
Oh, I'm always eager, man. I'm easily excitable. That's what they call me. I'm easily excitable.
All right.
So,
do we need to go?
Bad Bob is going to run the show for us today.
Good morning. It is 7:06 and partly cloudy today. Slight chance of a rain shower this afternoon. Daytime high will be, get this, right around 72 degrees. Overnight low down into the 50s. More chance of rain tomorrow around the area. However, that also brings us a chance of thunderstorms, and that is not so good. But the high tomorrow, the good news there, only in the mid-60s. Right now in Reading, we do have 57 gorgeous degrees. And this report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Senior and Veterans Discounts, 365-3793, Shasta Gas Propane.
All righty. First things first. Guest host yesterday, Rocky Slaughter, had a great show. Man, you guys were packed in here, weren't you? I saw the picture on Facebook.
It was a little tight.
Yeah. Great guest yesterday, Francie Sullivan, Matt Morgan from Optimize Worldwide in here. One of the things that I really liked about their show was the fact that they talked about moving from that service based economy. As far as I'm concerned, that really kind of holds us down in the Reading area, but it's what we turn to once the lumber industry and other industries kind of moved on. We're stuck in a service-based economy. I love the idea about the Venture Hub up on Caterpillar Drive. I think that's an excellent idea. And all in all, a great show. So, good morning, Dr. McConnell.
Good morning, Ted. It's good to be here with you and Bob, and I want to make sure the audience knows this is an Army show today.
It is an Army show.
Two-thirds.
Liver? That's exactly right. So, you know what I'd like to do? Let's just go ahead and start off by introducing ourselves. I know people think they know you, and they think they know me, but we kind of remain on the peripheral, and we never really get a chance to talk about ourselves on the show. You know, I'm a gun instructor.
Yes.
And I own Northern Firearms Instruction. I have been doing that since about 2007. And before that, I was an Army soldier. And
well, you were an Army Command Sergeant Major.
Well, I was Army Command Sergeant Major. That's right.
For the audience, make sure they understand exactly how laudable a position that is. Actually, as a young medical officer, those are the folks you went to really find out what was going on and how to do things. So basically, that's a long journey to get that rank. So I salute you, sir.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you very much. You know, I enjoyed it. I wouldn't have done it any other way.
Well,
it was a great, great time.
To achieve that rank, you're doing it the right way.
So, but I'm a product of Evergreen Union School District. I don't know if anyone knew that. Yeah, down in Cottonwood, California. I'm a Bowman Roader.
A local boy.
I
didn't know that, actually.
Absolutely. You know the difference between Cottonwood and Bowman Roaders?
No.
On Bowman Road, we wait for both headlights to go out before we change them. I don't know if you ever noticed this or not, but you can hardly tell one's out, right? You can hardly tell one's out. I'm also a product of West Valley High School, 1983, the first graduating class.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we unpacked the books at West Valley High School. Not to make you feel old, Bad Bob.
Yeah. So after all the Army, you decided to come back to home to roost. That's good.
Absolutely. Joined the Army in '85. Mm-hmm. Retired at the end of 2006. Got a little job till I could get NFI running. And now Northern Firearms Instruction teaches classes all the way down to Tulare County.
Right, and I know that. Border. In fact, my wife and I are both graduates.
Yep.
And actually, it's time for me to come back for a little safety training and brush up and paperwork. So yeah, we've enjoyed your instruction and the style, and we'll be back. We're coming back.
Excellent. One of our guests today, Dr. Maria Salas, is coming in. She was in class this weekend.
Oh, yes.
So we're going to ask her all about it.
As was one of my dear nurses at the hospital.
Don't tell me. Janelle Peets.
You got it. Super nurse.
I got Janelle.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I got her. Did she tell
me.
You?
Yes, she did.
Yeah,
she said, how does he know me?
And yeah.
So Facebook was a great linkage, I guess.
I got her. I mean, she walked in and I said, I know you.
Yeah.
You're Janelle Peets. She said, what? I said, yep. Well, I know you.
That's the wonderful thing about this nice community of Reading and the small town atmosphere, because she was just shocked that the firearms instructor would actually know who she was as she entered the classroom.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And a quick shout out to your old stomping grounds there, Doctor. Shasta Regional Medical Center brings you this portion of the show where they know medical care can change the body. Treating people well can change their lives. And you had a good tenure with them, and you're still associated.
I am very much associated. The last 6 years, I was the director of cardiac surgery there, and we found a superb, excellent young surgeon to replace me as, unfortunately, the ravages of time marched on, but not ravages, but yes, Dr. Paul Mazur will be taking over the cardiac program and is a superb surgeon with whom I've operated both in Long Beach previously as well as up here, and I will stay in the background as helping him as well as covering and providing basically a two-man cardiac service.
And Reading is all the better for that.
Yes.
Well, absolutely.
Paul will be, he'll easily surpass anything I achieved here.
Oh, I doubt that. I doubt that. Our guest today, Dr. Maria Salas, is coming in to talk about PRP therapy. That's platelet therapy.
Yes.
I've been in a boot. I've been in a cast. I don't have it on today. I'm supposed to be. Nobody should know that. I'm being non-compliant today. But I was in a walking boot all weekend during the course, and she said, you should really think about this platelet. What is it? Platelet injection therapy?
Yes, platelet-rich plasma. And that's made as a component with your own blood. And actually, the gentleman who runs the heart-lung machine at SRMC is a perfusionist who will create that segment. But you have to spin down your blood and select a certain segment of cells that spin out of that. And it is found in the right injected and applied to parts of the body because it has platelets, which are sort of the body's first responder to injury. And it's rich in the density of platelets that can enact and speed up healing of many types of tissue injuries. In fact, when I divide the chest for open heart surgery, we used to have to seal the open bone with materials that were artificial. We've entirely at Shasta Regional gone to platelet-rich plasma, and we can seal the edge of the raw bone with that while we're operating. And ever since we did that, we never had an infection of that wound.
Do we not live in an age of wonders?
Yes.
It is wonderful, because I would do anything to fix this foot.
Yes, I don't know what happened to it.
Well, I've got a
fascia.
Yeah, it's the fascia. It's
fasciitis. Oh, yes. I mean, that can totally immobilize you. And, so, Maria, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, but we can achieve it. We use it in the cardiac surgical area to seal wounds and we're just amazed at how clots right away, which is very important to us in surgery, but also the bone healing is enhanced.
Well, I'm certainly going to ask my podiatrist about it on Thursday.
Yes, and if he doesn't know of anybody in town that can do the spinning, because you basically have to take your own blood. That's the beauty of this, isn't the foreign material, is you helping you, but this tissue, this spin down of some of your blood has to be done while you're there and then re-injected into the wound. I've actually seen it used on open wounds in wound care centers. It's been amazing to watch tissues heal up rather rapidly.
Excellent. I look forward to it. And I look forward to talking to Dr. Maria about it.
Oh, Maria, yeah. She'll give you a good insight on it. But yeah. I know where how to get it to you.
Oh, you do? Good.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to talk. We're going to talk on break about it. Also this morning we have Mike Roberts and Dale Ball coming in from Shasta Support Service.
Mm-hmm.
They actually started a group that gets together every weekend and goes and cleans up homeless camps called Shasta Support Service. I don't know if you've seen them on Facebook. You can look them up on Facebook.
I haven't seen them, but I will.
Incredible group. Very motivated, visionary as far as what they want to do for the city.
Mm-hmm.
And so I invited them in this morning. Tomorrow, we're having Angie Watson, one of the leaders in Take Back Reading, in here.
Good.
And so that should be interesting.
Awesome.
Yeah, that should be very interesting.
All right.
All righty. So
For 45 years, the Redding Civic Auditorium has been an important community resource for many venues of entertainment. The Redding Civic invites you to become a Civic member. By becoming a member, you will strengthen the community connection, and we think you'll love the benefits. Many membership levels. Find out more at RedingCivic.com or the Civic Box Office. It is 715 KCNR 1460, the home of Community Talk Radio. Phone line 605-4567. Free Fire Radio will continue after this.
You may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. And you may find yourself in another part of the world. And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. And you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife. And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I'd like to thank everyone for their patience on deliveries. Having the boys on the fire has been tough, but bear with us, we will get to you, I promise. Danny's driving truck also, so give the girls in the office a call and we'll take care of your delivery. Kathy's got more forklift tanks coming in any day now. Robin in Corning has barbecue bottles on the exchange program, so give her a call. She's got red diesel at the pump or deliveries to your farm, ranch, or orchard. Joe at Weaverville's been very busy with the loggers and the firefighters at all of our CFN and Visa card locks. And remember, we have card locks in South Reading at the Muse Yard, open 24/7. Northern Lights Energy, supporting our local families and firefighters. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Tri-Counties Bank presents Blue Skies. James and Diane Purcell were warming to the idea of adding solar to their home, but they wanted to manage the financing according to their cash flow and timeline. That's when Tri-Counties banker Nikki Uecker and her team had a shining idea. A home equity line of credit would provide the Purcells with the monthly flexibility they wanted. Plus, with the additional savings from going solar, they could offset their loan payments, allowing them to do other home improvements, like updating their bathroom and installing new carpeting, while staying on time and on budget. It's blue skies from here. Home equity lines of credit. Home mortgage lending. Home, sunny home. For personalized problem solving, switch to Tri-Counties Bank. Tri-Counties Bank. Service with solutions. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. NMLS number 458732.
It's the 11th annual Dog Pound Poker Run benefiting Rescue Animal Coalition's Paws for a Cause. Saturday, September 19th, starting at the Wind River Resort and Casino. Starting with an awesome buffet and featuring raffles, bands, dancing, fight games, vendors, and poker hand and joker hand prizes at each stop. Poker hand with a low hand of $250 and a high hand of $500. For pre-registration form and details, visit ReddingDogPound.com or call 710-6289. Sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino, Dr. Jack Finch, Shasta Regional Hospital, Outlander Creative, Lakeshore Inn and RV, America's Tires, Shasta Athletic Club, AC Guide Service, R&R Meats, Everyday Fitness, CR Gibbs, Crown Motors, Land Custom Seats, Outlaw Motorcycle, Sojourn Sellers, Westside Pet Hospital and Boarding, Record Searchlight, California Brewery, Ridge Bay Resort, and Mosley Family Sellers. The 11th Annual Dog Pound Poker Run, benefiting Rescue Animal Coalition's Paws for a Cause. Saturday, September 19th, starting at the Wind River Resort and Casino. So why are you sitting there? Come on and ride.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
You know, the first time I heard dubstep, I go, what happened to my computer? I think it's broken. And then along came Lindsey Stirling, and she kind of made it happen for me.
I don't know what dubstep is. I'm sorry.
That's the distorted... it's a form of techno.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Bob, you're so hip, man.
That's why you're here, Bob.
you are so hip.
Are you familiar with Lindsey Stirling, though?
No.
Oh.
No. Who is she?
She's awesome.
Give me the rundown.
She was actually told that her style, she plays in a Celtic fiddle combined with contemporary techno-type music, and she was told that she was absolutely unsaleable. No, the record companies would not touch her. She was on, I think, America's Got Talent or one of those things. Mm-hmm. Spectacular dancer and just a very gifted artist. Little gal from somewhere in Utah. But she took to YouTube, making her own music on videos, and has become a huge sensation.
And Lindsay Sterling.
Lindsay Sterling.
I think we'll have to go check that out.
Yeah, her stuff is just absolutely hauntingly beautiful. And go to YouTube. She's got a big YouTube channel, lots of followers.
All right. Thank you.
So, Dr. McConnell.
Yes.
Here's what I want to do, because you did say this was going to be an Army show, and it is. There's not a Marine in this place.
Be all that you can be.
That's right.
Yeah,
be
that's
all
right.
That you can
it's
be.
It's a Marine-free day. This
is a Marine-free day.
Sorry, Carl, if you're out there listening.
The show is being recorded.
Carl. So, give me, besides being a medical leader in our community, quite famous, and a community leader, give me the rundown on your Army career.
Oh.
Because I don't think many people know how involved you are and were, or were and are, in the United States Army.
Well, gosh, Ted, compared to your duration, pretty minimal, but in truth, I was in college, Vietnam was on, I was accepted to medical school, and at that time, we could roll our deferments into medical school that we all had because we were subject to the draft throughout college. And then as soon as you got your medical degree, the military, and you had to get a residency in training, basically every medical student graduate was now the deferment from college was now theirs, and they had a choice that they really had a medical program called the Berry Program, to make it real quick. In essence, as soon as you graduated and were accepted in a training program, you were offered the opportunity of a commission, which would place you in a reserve status, and basically they would decide how long a deferment you would be allowed. And particularly if you're going to feel like I was in trauma and chest surgery, they said, very good, you just get your training. Now, remember, they didn't pay for any medical school or anything like that. This was all related to the Vietnam War. So consequently, I was made a captain because I'd finished my college degree plus medical school plus my first year of residency. So I was a captain in the reserves, and then kept on. Every 6 months, we had to basically prove that we were still basically in training. So the military's goal was to have me fully trained as a chest and heart surgeon. So that led on to a number of years of just continued staying at UCLA. The day I finished that, well, actually about 3-4 weeks before that, I was received a manila envelope with orders to report to active duty on the day after my residency, promoting me to major, which I apologize to folks like you that worked there. The truth was, just like the movie MASH, I exited UCLA with orders to join the surgical unit attached to the 101st Airborne, and they were so short of surgeons. Literally, there's supposed to be 8 guys there. They had 3 currently, and they needed me as number 4. So I was sent right to the 101st, and not sent to Officer Basic School in Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, Texas, right? Yeah. And so I ended up, that's why I love Sergeant Majors, because I showed up as a newly minted major with nice gold oak leaves. Didn't know much, but I was a surgeon. That's what the Army wanted me to know.
Oh, totally got
and
that.
As soon as I signed in, I met the sergeant major, and I think he looked at me and said, how long have you been in the Army, sir? I said, about 20 minutes. Anyway, that led to 2 years of working with the best and the wonderful volunteer unit at the 101st, and as well as the rest of the folks on post. But in that time, I basically wrote, I was so appalled when I was actually deployed in a training mission, actually in a swamp, of the sets, kits, and outfits and the medical care available to the military in that day. I wrote a letter to the Surgeon General of the United States Army. And I said, because frankly, I was the senior trauma surgeon at that post. My colonel was actually a family practitioner, a good guy, but basically in terms of medical authority, I outranked him in terms of trauma. So I had to sort of go through him, but my letter was pretty scathing about, hey, the soldiers deserve far better. Put it away, but a month later I got a call from the general's major, who's an aide to him, saying, what's going on? There's a general coming out to visit you. And they did. A 2-star general was sent out from the Surgeon General's Army. And that actually led to a total training, a new program and training. And there's a school in Fort Sam Houston today
which I sort of helped kickstart by my letter and the visit from the general. And then I was in the reserves for an additional 12 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And unbelievable.
But meanwhile, I exited and went to Long Beach, California, and became a cardiac surgeon down there. And after I was there for 28 years, moved to Reading in 2009, which was really fine, as we say in our little rap.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Anyway, that's a summary of it. But I was also an aviator. I had about 1,200 hours in fixed-wing aircraft. And then my single best buddy in the Army was a major. And he was commander of an aviation group. So he would fix me up with a warrant officer, and we'd go flying all the time. I learned to fly helicopters. Not legally, though.
Yeah.
Or good enough to probably keep from killing myself. But that's why warrant officers and sergeant majors have helped my career survive.
Yeah. That's kind of our job.
Yeah.
There's something that I would like to lead into, and you kind of walked us into it.
Okay.
Department of Defense leadership,
mm-hmm.
Army, Air Force, Marine Corps,
yeah.
Coasties, Navy. The Surgeon General gets a letter from a guy that's been in the Army less than 6 months,
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't discount it.
No, he did not.
Takes a look at it.
He did.
And says, as a leader, it's my job
mm-hmm.
to make sure that I peel back every onion and turn over every rock to keep soldiers alive on the battlefield, and this could be the thing for me.
And I conclude the last statement in my letter was that, and he's a physician, by the way. So basically, I'm a university trained trauma and cardiac surgeon pointing out to another physician. We were sort of peers about a medical issue. And I responded to him. I said, I am sure, sir, that you, as I, believe that the American military man or individual deserves the finest medical care possible. That's the tone of this letter. And that's how I concluded it, and I didn't hear anything until I was informed a two-star general, his aide, the second in command, was being sent out to spend 2 days with me when I did a presentation to him.
I love it. I love it. And that's going to bring me to my next subject, which is the draft public safety report that was leaked to the Record Searchlight yesterday.
Yes, I only became aware of that today.
Yeah. It's kind of scathing. You've got to take a look at it. And, of course, I'm not going to get into the what's and wherefores of it, but it brings up a point,
mm-hmm.
and the point of the matter is this report says nothing that hasn't been being said in the community of Reading for the last 2 or 3 years. I mean, I've heard it over and over and over, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we hire a consultant to come down here to tell them what the community's already been telling them. And, you know, unfortunately, messaging is so important in leadership. And the message that the United States Army Surgeon General sent to you was, I'm here to keep every soldier alive. And I don't care what I got to do, even if I'm listening to some, you know, to him it was a paltry major. To me, it was a major, man. That's somebody. some brand new major. I'm going to investigate this, and I'm going to put a committee together, and we're going to make change here based on the fact that he has a point.
I also had a plan. I actually had figured out how they should start training. These were the field units, the combat support hospitals attached to the 101st, and how they needed to be trained and changed their training rotations. So not only was I able to point out the deficiencies, but I think I had begun the step towards here's what you need to do. And it produced a lot of angst in the two-star general on the post, who was the commander of the 101st, that a equal rank, even though he's a medical piece, was arriving on post. That's how I ended up getting the call from their offices. I said, who are you, and what's this general coming out to see you? And so it was an interesting time, but you're right. Ultimately, it was a physician-to-physician communication about what's best for the soldiers. And the good news was we were under the command of a general at that time. He used to make rounds and would start in the back and would want to meet the soldiers or the patients we had operated on. Didn't want to talk to the officers, and he would finish that up. And we were very aware that as he talked to them and said, how are they doing? They calling your family? You're doing well? Getting better, soldier? Airborne, he'd move on. Or air assault, I should say.
Air assault.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's a joke between us. But anyway, he would move on, and then he'd finally come out and talk to the doctors and nurses. Says, the men say you're doing a good work. That's fine. We just so basically we realized our officer review or our officer report had just been written by a group of privates, corporals, and sergeants in the back, because that's all he was interested in, was the welfare of his men. That was a leader. He was quite a guy.
Absolutely. And, you know, the 101st is the most decorated a United States Army unit in history.
They keep telling us that.
Yeah, that's true. And I notice you love to wear your pin, your 101st pin.
I am.
That's awesome.
I'm proud of those years because of the people I met. It was all volunteer. And learned a lot from that time with them.
And you patched up a lot of troopers?
We did. I mean, we were understaffed, but we worked well, and we had a nice team. And ultimately, all the surgeons I was with, we ultimately left the military and went back to private practice. But that was our job. I mean, the Army wasn't going to be training all the surgeons. They have to tap people coming out of the university training programs, put them in charge, and have them move on.
All righty, time for break.
Well, you'll enjoy this one. This portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction.
Woo-hoo!
Ted Lighty, sitting just a few feet away from me, and his team of professional NRA instructors provide the most complete CCW training in Northern California. For a limited time, NFI will provide a free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents who take a basic CCW course. Register online at readingccw.com or call NFI at 999-1822, 730 at KCNR 1460. Free Fire Radio continues after this.
With her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Fed to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see, so what's wrong with taking...
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Allen and Dahl Funeral Chapels are locally owned and family operated since 1978. Our goal is to assist you with your questions and decisions in difficult times, treating you with respect, care, and understanding, as we would with our own family. We have a reputation for being honest and compassionate, and our rates being very reasonable. We have a menu of various services, from cremation to traditional paths. Let us be there for you and help you with the questions you may have, even if you have already chosen another chapel service. That's just the kind of people we are. Always there for you. Allen and Dahl, with three locations to serve you. Redding, Anderson, and Palisadro. For more information or questions, call 547-4444. That's 547-4444. Allen and Dahl. Family, helping family.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. Centrally located in Memphis, Tennessee, GI Pathology delivers results to its nationwide client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to gipath.com for more information.
Hi, it's Linda Bott and Molly Kidd. Join us on Thursday night during On the Spot at 6 p.m.
Also on the first Thursday of every month, join Rhonda Ball and James Masada from Enjoy the Magazine. We bring you art, entertainment, food, highlights, and all the stuff going on in the North State.
Don't forget the giveaways, lots of laughs, and great information.
That's On the Spot Thursdays at 6 p.m.
here on KCNR 1460.
Brought to you by Dandelion Gift and Apparel, Wind River Resort and Casino, and Crackmaster Windshield and Repair.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Rolling, oh, I like this.
Could this not be the Reading theme song?
Yes.
I love it.
Progress. It's actually about rolling the river.
Thank you.
you're right, Rob.
I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. So at the break, Dr. McCall and I were talking about this draft public safety report, and there's a lot to be to dig into it. I mean, you've got to peel back this thing layer by layer. But we talked about we started the show talking about leadership and his leadership in the Army and how he has contributed to the defense of our nation, even as a young surgeon. But you said that you were approached by Nigel Skeet also lately,
just
and
yesterday.
You had a meeting.
I had it was the same evening I was told I was supposed to show up here by Colonel Bott.
Excellent.
I happened to be sitting next to Nigel, a photographer in town, and he's started this actual program. I don't pretend to know all the details, but it involves taking some of our homeless folks through the mission up to a remake-up job and basically restore their personal visual dignity as well as them meeting community members. And I sat down with this young man who's 21, came here on a bus when he's 19. I won't go through all the story, but in essence, he just really needs to and has linkages back to his home in Indianapolis with his sisters. He needs to get home, and he could be restored. But we spent probably an hour and a half talking about the homeless situation. It's the first time I've ever talked on to the other side. It's one thing to witness it and be a community member, and I've always thought maybe I need to get on the other side. Well, Nigel provided that opportunity.
That's why I think this story is so important.
Yes.
So keep going.
Well, so we sat and talked, and we became friends, and I learned a little bit about the young man. But in essence, at one point I said, well, tell me. He goes to the mission, and basically they have to exit every morning after breakfast and stay away and come back in the evening for shelter because he's not in one of the two programs there. And trying to get back home. But he said, I asked him, what's the makeup of the people in the street that you think of? He said 35% of them are people who are seeking or could be restored. That was a term I sort of came with on Dave, which means that some pathway towards returning home, returning to gainful employment, returning to a position of self-esteem and achievement, be 35%. The rest he divided between those who are mentally ill for a variety of reasons, who basically can't function on their own, as well as the other part being addiction and substance abuse story and all the alienation that goes with it. And generally, you know, as we discuss it, what we call the homeless, that's an adjective, but in medicine that would just be a symptom. That's just like saying abdominal pain. You can't treat homelessness. You can't give them a home. It's a bizarre term we've created lately. Because the home is not the solution.
The home's not the issue.
If they had
a home, it still wouldn't work for them.
That is correct. It's a symptom. So we had a good discussion on that, and basically you have to really go behind the term homeless to then find out what's the pathway to management. So there's a different set of decisions have to be done for those that are addicted and the mentally ill than there are for those that are subject to restoration. Nigel is opening up a very nice pathway for that group to meet people, and I found the day afternoon both educational, and it was a good opportunity that we did. So I was very glad to be part of that program.
One more spoke, and the leadership will. Nigel Skeet. Good
yes.
for him, man.
Yeah,
for him and
yeah,
good for you.
I didn't ever understand all that he was doing until I got inside it, and that was helpful. And
I had seen his photos in the Record Searchlight and, mm-hmm. and on Facebook, and kind of understood that he was trying to give a face
mm-hmm.
to what you know, the homeless, basically trying to give them a face, trying to let them know, hey, these are people. They dress up nice, and they have a very important part to play in our society still.
This man does. He actually on his own went through all the training at ROP for a CNA, a certified nursing assistant. And he has his license. He probably took it out and showed it to me. It's good till April of 2018. And with that, he hopes to return to his sister's home in Indianapolis, transfer that to Indiana, and be gainfully employed.
So what was holding him up besides the bus ticket?
Well, he was told the bus ticket was $350. That's what he told me. I had my phone, looked it up. It's really about 166, and that would take 2 to 3 days. And of course, the mission says they have to get them clothes and cleaned up and all that. So it's a big undertaking to take a bus. I looked up Southwest Airlines would get them from Sacramento to Indianapolis in 6.5 hours for $197. So I said, well, maybe he just needs a ride to Sacramento Airport and a ticket. That's a whole lot cheaper than the bus solution, I think. But so I. you know, I'm just sort of tipping my toe in the water here. But in truth, I thought Nigel's program to help the homeless may actually be helping me.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it became educational. I think I enjoy it. I mean, in medicine, in emergency rooms, you meet people from all walks of life under all sorts of circumstances. So you can't be a physician and not come to experience the human breadth of life experiences and traumas and problems. I mean, we've treated homeless people that have infected heart valves and so forth. From, when I say homeless myself, this would be case drug users.
Got it. So 35%.
Yes. He's convinced 35% is restorable. And I think Rob Pelletti has used, he divides the group into three groups, and one of them is this, that's mobile and restorable.
I think, so probably one of the cities, I think probably one of the cities' focuses should be trying to figure out how to get to that 35%.
Yeah, and I asked him that as well. He said, actually, this program selects those people willing to leave the mission. That's where Nigel apparently finds many of the folks willing to participate. And they are willing to come up and make the extent to avail themselves of the personal grooming and cleanup and restoration of self-esteem. And so actually, well, maybe Nigel's actually opened up a door to the restorable.
I like that. And the mission has changed their focus also.
They have. They actually listened to the community talks that we actually had at the Civic Center about maybe some of the great goals of the mission could also be counterproductive, and I think they're adapting to that.
I completely agree with that. All right, so let's go back to this draft public safety report. Dr. McCollum, I haven't had a chance to go through it, but basically not enough communications amongst agencies. Number one.
That's probably true in life in general.
I think that is most marriages.
But yes, okay. Between agencies. In fact,
yeah, between agencies.
We saw that as a symptom of 9/11.
Yes, we did.
Absolutely. The bureaucracies get so entrenched. So let's assume it's a common governmental challenge.
It is. And really, I look at this whole report as an opportunity to excel.
We should. As a city, I am convinced we have the personnel and the community commitment and the people and the smarts. We're smart people. We just need to get our act together.
I completely agree. You know, it's easy to point and place blame and this and that if you look at this report. And there are a lot of people that are going to do that. If you look at the comments on the Record Searchlight website, I mean, there's a lot of that going on right now. But it's more important to me to say, look, here's the thing. Not one leader in this city got up this morning saying, today I'm going to mess this up.
Not at all. In fact, yesterday, Christian Schroeder was with me in the same sessions, for example. And Rob Pelletti is someone who I know and respect.
Yep,
me too. And I think we've got a collection of people. It's a question of how well can we work. And like Pogo said, maybe sometimes the enemy might be us.
That's exactly right.
Us being the citizens of the town who need to get involved. And maybe we should need to help out our leadership. Or,
well, I agree with that. I think they've got plenty of informal leaders, mm-hmm. like yourself, in the community. It's just a matter of, at some point, we have to start listening, and we have to start telling them that they matter. And when I say telling them, we need to tell the community that they matter enough that we're going to take the time to let you know what we're doing mm-hmm. to answer your concerns, just like the general did with you.
Yes, he did listen, and to his credit, reacted. And then I must say, my wife and I were both impressed with the ideas that came out of the Take Back Reading, I think, was it?
Take Back Reading.
At the Civic Center. And all of our leadership was present and represented there. So we did have the solutions bubbling up right from us.
Yeah, I think probably one of the biggest things is messaging. We need to know that you're hearing and adjusting. That's the point, right? If that general had never showed up on Fort Campbell,
yes,
you probably wouldn't have thought anything about it. But when he did show up, I think maybe that was a moment in your life when you thought, wow.
I was surprised that a relatively new guy from UCLA could somehow get this much interest. But so it proved to me that at the top level, when I explained to them that there were issues in the sets, kits, and outfits and training of the entire Army systems based on the sample of 101st, they listened. And they ultimately did train. As I said, there's a whole school down at Fort Sam Houston that basically was born or created about that same time.
Excellent.
In fact, I was offered participation in that school when I had to make a decision to continue in the Army or do heart surgery, and that was a tough time. But I decided to continue heart surgery. I really would have stayed.
saving lives.
Well, I was already, then they promoted me to lieutenant colonel. I had one more promotion, and after that, you couldn't take care of patients.
Oh, yeah, your staff then.
Yeah, once you get a, well, you get the colonel, you could do it, but if you got, if you made a flag rank, you wouldn't.
Nope, you're done. You're running the show then.
Yeah.
Director. All right, so let's go ahead and take a break.
And thank you very much. Interesting conversation. Of course, you can join us 605-4567 here at KCNR 1460. We're at 745. This portion of the program brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive in Reading, 222-2750. The phone number, they do some great work, Leonard and Company over there at Four Winds Jewelry, proud sponsor of Free Fire Radio.
Running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay and neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us, East Side Road off of 273.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California. Hello,
hello. Are you out there? 7:48 AM, this portion of the program brought to you by Reading Crackmaster Windshield Repair. They do what no other windshield repair business can. Others offer... They offer a full guarantee from chips to cracks over 24 inches in length. Jeff Wurst can assist you. Call Jeff at 241-8373 or stop by 3208 Market Street in Reading. Reading Crackmaster Windshield Repair.
All right, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. One of the recommendations, Dr. McConnell, from the Matrix Group was to create an interagency master plan among public service and law enforcement agencies to find ways to reduce homelessness with solutions that focus on housing first options and services for the mentally ill. Now, you learned a lot when you went on your when you're in a meeting with your young man.
Yes, I did.
Tell us a little bit about how they filter through the mission.
Well, that's the interesting part, and this is not a criticism of the mission in any way, but in truth, so I asked him what his life had been like on the streets of Reading. Remember, this is a young man who went through the whole training at ROP for CNA while being homeless, technically, in this town. Is that he can stay at the mission apparently a maximum of 30 days at any one time. And by staying at the mission means that you get a place to sleep at night and, I guess, three meals a day. But they do have to exit the mission physically shortly after breakfast. And then they have to sort of spend the day. In his case, he was going to school. And then they can return in the evening, have a dinner meal, and sleep in sort of a dormitory-like conditions. Probably there's no privacy or much in the way of privacy or personal goods storage facility. So you're basically a transient resident, but you do have what the mission offers, shelter and food, which, of course, is quite valuable. But at the end of 30 days, you must exit the program, and then you go back on the streets if you're still stuck here and haven't solved the issues you brought. And that has to do with basically demand and availability of facilities. So for the next 30 days, you basically are deregistered, and you wander, and he would exist in the streets, actually in the countryside. And he talked about, you know, police arriving and rousting people and moving him. He says it's a little difficult. They move every night because of that. They can't make an encampment. He would move along. And then at the end of his 30-day period, he returns to the mission and can now get sheltered for the next 30 days. I had never appreciated that. I also can see from the mission standpoint that's probably what's necessary, but that's just a way of sort of spreading the resource around. He also said that when people come to the mission, there's a group of people come in and register, and then they actually collect and get disability checks and others, and then disappear to go spend them on nefarious substances, and they then exit. So it's, he didn't say they get them at the mission, but it was the fact that there are transients of transients who are really there to get shelter until their checks arrive, and then they return to the streets because obviously you can't be using and so forth at the mission. But I had not appreciated it. It was a 30 days on, 30 days off, and that's how he lived really up to now, about 2 years.
2 years right here in Reading.
Yes, he arrived by bus at age 19.
That is amazing to me. So yeah. He must have been doing some training. You said he went through the ROP program.
Yes, he did, and then took his first test in Marysville, his second test in San Jose, and passed, and he has a state license for that.
Well, good for him.
Yes.
And I wish him well. So let's talk about your third, fourth, or fifth career as a barista?
Yes.
Or as a baristo?
Actually, that's barista. You know, that's a good question.
Well, it's
Italian, so it probably does have a gender attached to it.
Yeah.
So I was approached by Bev Stupak from Turtle Bay. And for all those out there who know Bev Stupak, I don't think anybody's ever said no to her. She is the world's best cheerleader. But in truth, on Thursday, my daughter, Melanie, who's a physician assistant at Shasta Regional, proud of her, and I have volunteered to be baristas at the Dutch Bros on the corner of Market and Eureka Way.
Right across from the mission?
No,
of Market and Eureka Way, right here.
1200,
right up the
street. Yeah, I think it's right up the street.
Close. It's right here.
Close to SRMC. So SRMC, I think, is trying to help staff that day. But so the two of us are going to be guest baristas, which really means we're out hustling tips. And now the tips are for Turtle Bay, which I think is one of the best organizations in this town. In fact, when I was considering whether to move up here or not, once I met and saw the facilities and met some of the people behind it, I think of that as a tip of an iceberg. For that bridge to rise so tall, which is and the museum to be there, there's an under-supporting group and infrastructure of people, community members, and people committed to excellence and philanthropy and education of kids and mission. And so the Turtle Bay is a sign of the quality of the community here, I think.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And Carl and I have done fundraisers before for them. We've actually put on CCW classes to raise money for them.
Very good. Well, I'm going to be my daughter and I will be there serving coffee and encouraging everybody to come by, all my friends and Bev's friends, and we're going to be there from 7 to 9. If you in fact, in truth, Dutch Bros, to their credit, is quite a community organization, and all of their facilities are going to be staffed with guest celebrity baristas. I'm not a celebrity, but so please, on Thursday morning, go to a Dutch Bros. Come to mine if you can, and because all those celebrity baristas are competing for donations. But what counts is the donations that go to Turtle Bay and really show our community support for what I think is wonderful organizations. And my daughter, Melanie, and I will be very happy to get your order and be sure you're served well. They will have professionals that know what they're doing. Our job is to sit out with a red bucket and support Turtle Bay. And if you can't come to our place or our time, please go to Dutch Bros. And the Dutch Bros organization is also contributing a good portion of every sale to Turtle Bay. So this is a day for the community to come out for Turtle Bay, and we're happy to help where we are.
Speaking of Dutch Bros, Chris and Aaron Reznor have really, really made an impact in our community.
They're great folks.
I mean, talk about giving back.
Yes, and hiring local folks.
Down to earth.
Many, many with stories. So I think, in truth, Chris, and they're young folks, really.
They are young.
Yeah, and so this mutual cooperation in Turtle Bay, that's just another important part of a sign of the quality of the community that does exist in this town. And we can get so negative with reports like you're reading.
Completely agree.
And we have to step back and look at what's really great about this town and then build on that. And I think that we have the pieces and the people and the will, and we just can't let the bad guys or the naysayers get us down.
Oh, absolutely. And this, and you know, you mentioned the report. I'm not going to even hardly talk about this report too much because, number one, it's not finished.
Yes,
every
single
day
it hasn't been.
It's not finished.
Yes.
And number two, I feel like it's a good thing. I feel like, hey, at least we know now where we have to go.
I think
we can get it lined out.
You got to pick up a map and know where you are before you can make a journey and lay out a goal.
There are some traps in this report, though.
Yes.
And what? For leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Number one trap, don't whitewash this report and don't try to discount it because nobody will believe you.
I think we have some politicians struggling with those issues, too.
Yeah, you've got to embrace it. The best thing you can do is embrace it and say, okay, you're right. We've messed this up a little bit. We're going to fix it.
Or factually educate us about where the discrepancies are and with real numbers and so forth, and then move forward together and recognize that we've got a quality folks and we can do this, I'm pretty sure.
The messaging is so important. Yesterday, Billy Bob from Palisadro called in. Billy Bob, I hope you're listening right now, brother, because I was listening to you. And he wanted to talk about the impact fees for building permits.
Okay.
And Francie made a good point that impact fees were up.
Mm-hmm. They raised them. Yeah.
Well, I mean
the number.
Yeah, the numbers are up. They're making more money on impact fees. There's more building going on right now.
There's more permits out.
There are more permits out, yeah. But what she said was that the permits had raised 750%, if I remember that right. She told Billy Bob the facts didn't bear out what he was saying on the radio. The facts just didn't bear it out. So I went and pulled it, and she is correct. There, the permits are up. Commercial new buildings are up 325% from 4 to 17, which is impressive.
Well, okay. But, Billy Bob, just to play devil's advocate, maybe when you talk about percentages, that was pretty low to just 4 permits. You're saying that's the baseline?
Right, right. No, the baseline was much more, but from 2014 to 2015. So my point is to Francie,
mm-hmm.
Listen, don't discount automatically. Because he's probably in the business or knows something about those impact fees and is complaining. And even if he's complaining, just like you were kind of complaining to the Surgeon General of the United States Army, it still deserves a listen.
Well, anything you tax, you get less of it.
Well, that's
and
very
that's
true.
An impact fee, which maybe I'm unrealistic, but the truth is Billy Bob is not far from the truth that if you make it hard for investors and entrepreneurs to create housing and build, you're going to get less of it.
The perception is that the city doesn't say, how can we facilitate your success? It's how much can we drain from you and you still without actually killing you off?
Before you get discouraged.
Even though it's not true. If the perception
that's the
is
perception.
True, that's true.
Yes.
The bottom line is. And really,
and you wouldn't know how many permits you actually might have had were there no fees.
That's very true. But I will give her credit where she said, that might only be one or two out of 17% because the base or 325% because the baseline is very low. I get that.
Yeah.
And right underneath it, the valuation was down $5 million
of the
valuation of permits. Yeah,
so we're building more of lower.
Down.
Okay,
making building smaller buildings.
Well, she's. I think everybody's correct, but it's how you deal with the numbers.
Bad Bob, take us to break, brother.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Linda Kenyon. European Union countries are still sparring over the migrant crisis. The Interior Minister of the Czech Republic is blaming Germany for the crisis, saying it's had inconsistent policies. Earlier, Germany's foreign minister said he supports the idea of cutting European Union funding to countries that refuse to share the burden of hosting refugees. One day before the next GOP presidential debate, anti-establishment candidates remain the choice of voters.
Donald Trump and Ben Carson are both non-politicians, and both are atop the latest polls as support for traditional politicians continues to decline. A new ABC News Washington Post poll shows overwhelming public dissatisfaction toward government and politics, with more than 7 in 10 Americans saying people in politics cannot be trusted.
White House correspondent Greg Clugston. The Senate is scheduled another test vote on the Iran nuclear deal today. Democrats blocked the resolution of disapproval last week. The head of the Senate Democrats says he expects they'll do the same again today. North Korea says it's upgraded and restarted all of its atomic fuel plants so it can produce what it calls more and more sophisticated nuclear weapons. Today's announcement comes a day after the North threatened long-range rocket launches. Some analysts see the warnings as part of a general North Korean playbook that could eventually lead to concessions and eased sanctions. State officials say 23,000 people have been displaced by 2 explosive wildfires decimating whole communities in Northern California. Sterling Thayer says he'll bounce back after losing his home to the fire.
I'm not going to be defined by things like this, you know? It's, you have a choice of how you handle things in life, and I think this is the way I want to handle it, positive. We'll move forward. We'll get through this.
The fire killed one person as it consumed more than 95 square miles. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
Your local pharmacist is also a Health Mart pharmacist. And they're not like other pharmacists.
After Mom's surgery, I was overwhelmed. But I was so relieved. Her Health Mart pharmacist was there to help. They explained her medication and even delivered to her house. Mom got the personal service she needed, and I got something even better. Peace of mind.
Visit HealthMart.com to find a locally owned Health Mart pharmacy near you. Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
U.S. businesses boosted their stockpiles by a tiny amount in July, while sales also slowed, showed a slight gain.
The Commerce Department says business inventories inched up 0.1% following a 0.7% increase in June. The July gain was the smallest since a similar increase in March. Sales were also up 0.1% in July following a 0.3% increase the month before. Sales had declined for 7 straight months through February and have been posting modest increases since that time.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Americans stepped up their spending on cars, restaurant meals, groceries, and clothing in August. The Commerce Department says retail sales rose 0.2% last month after advancing 0.7% in July. And traders are waiting on the Federal Reserve meeting where policymakers could decide to raise interest rates for the first time in close to a decade. The meeting starts tomorrow and wraps up on Thursday. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Aspirin may again be a help in preventing illness and death.
A government task force says a daily low-dose aspirin could help certain people in their 50s and 60s prevent a first heart attack or stroke, and they might get some protection against colon cancer at the same time. But the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommends aspirin only if people meet a strict list of criteria, including a high risk of heart disease and a low risk of bleeding side effects. The guidelines said the recommendation is strongest for 50-somethings, but the doctor should decide aspirin therapy on a case-by-case basis for people in their 60s. Keith Peters, Washington.
The Seattle City Council has passed a resolution urging the school district to negotiate in good faith with striking teachers to end the walkout that is now in its fifth day. The resolution also recognizes the union designating this week, rather, as Seattle Educators Week. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Ted Leidy here, guest hosting for Carl and Linda Bott, who are on vacation at this time. Glad to be here. Bad Bob, what's it look like outside?
Well, what a change from just 1 week ago. Slight chance of a rain shower, the high right around 72 degrees. Oh, love it.
I can hardly wait.
The bad part is we could see some thunderstorms in the forecast. If that happens, that could be a problem. 20% chance of rain tonight. They've upped the chance of rain tomorrow in Reading to 90%, with showers tapering off on Wednesday night into Thursday. The high tomorrow, only about 63 degrees. Breakout the sweater, boys and girls. Currently in Reading, we have 58 degrees in this report, as always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Their customers today are warm friends. And Shasta Gas Propane, 365-3793, offering senior and veterans discounts. Proud sponsor of Free Fire Radio.
All right. In this session, we have our guest, Dr. Maria Salas. Welcome.
Good morning, everybody. Get that dumb button ready, Bob.
how long's the delay? 5 seconds?
7, I think.
7 second delay.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I'm going to stick around and listen to this.
No, yeah. I can hardly wait. We're going
to
give someone a heart attack.
So nice to see you, Doc. Ted.
Dr. Maria Salas is from HealthWise Chiropractic, and you are one of Redding, California's leading female chiropractor. I'm so proud of you. You're from San Jose?
Because of the 29 out of 30 or the...
Well, we'll get there in a second.
Okay, okay. Why don't you take out the female? She's just a leading chiropractor.
Yeah, I'm just reading her bio.
Oh, okay.
Oh, gosh. Funny.
Yeah. From the Bay Area. Spent some time at Chico State.
Yes, sir.
Ended up here in Reading.
Yes, sir.
Did you intern for a while with Dr. Tim O'Shea? Is that what happened, or what happened there?
I worked with Dr. Tim O'Shea, and then I did my externship with Dr. Tom Blowink in Los Gatos at California Cranial Institute. Yeah.
And you have your own radio show right here on Free Fire Radio.
I have had Positively Healthy for the last 3 years, yes.
And we met this weekend at the Ladies Only CCW class that you took.
Was that a Ladies Only?
It was, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you couldn't tell it was nothing but ladies in that class?
No, I could tell. There was just some tough ladies in there. There was like a lot of testosterone, even though there was a lot of estrogen going on.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And you saw us struggling with some of the shooters, but that's okay. That's what a Ladies Only class is all about. Let me tell you, your pictures came out great. You look like a ninja, man. That little revolver.
I was impressed. Like on point, huh?
Yeah, on point. And we're going to talk a little bit about we talked about the my foot, and of
I'm
course
glad
I was
you guys did. I didn't get to hear it, but I was Doc and I got to talk about it before we came in, and I'm so glad we have resources here in Reading that I did not know about.
We can make it available.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're gonna do that.
Okay.
We're gonna make it happen. Matter of fact, we got two doctors in this room right now. We can as well just clear off this table and throw me down and take off this boot and let's get to work
on
this foot.
Do it. So I mean, one of the reasons why I've researched it for certain things, but I always get a lot of patients that come into my office to say, oh, there's nothing more that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing more that we can do. And, of course, chiropractors are always thinking about overall health and building up tissue, right, rather than tearing down tissue. And so PRP therapy or prolotherapy comes really natural to us.
Yes.
And so for me to be able to give that hope to my patient to say, hey, go research this.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I know that you guys have those resources, I know where to send them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited about
that.
Well,
we have the portable centrifuge. We can mm-hmm. make the product out of a patient's blood and then make it available to the injector. So
perfect.
Yeah.
Let's build up that tissue in the area and get you healed, buddy.
So
you were good this weekend with the boot. I got to tell everybody.
Thank you very much. Yes. I was in compliance, wore yes. the boot all weekend.
I mean, from the boot, even your dentist would be happy. You had your rubber bands on.
I know.
Everything.
Yeah, I live with a medical professional, though, so if I'm not in compliance.
Like, she's yeah. like. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she'll pull your privileges.
Yeah.
She will pull the
happens.
Privileges.
That's what happens in a hospital, you know, if you're not in compliance. So
oh,
I
yeah.
have no idea how it works in your household, but that would be the term we would use.
Oh, yeah, you know the drill. You know Lisa very well. She comes down on me hard about that stuff. So, but the bottom line is I understand it's what's right for me. That's what's good for me. They put me in the boot for a reason. And so they think it's going to help my foot heal. And so I'm trying to get there. So thank you for the shout out, though. For being compliant, I'm usually Mr. Non-compliant.
No, yes, Sunday was good. I was watching. Yeah.
So, number one thing people probably don't know about Dr. Maria Salas is
she's charming.
She's charming. She's yeah. very charming. Yeah.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And you're a hammer thrower.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
As in so, Olympic hammer.
Oh, she yeah, the hammer thrower in track and field.
Yeah,
oh,
I'll be done. Actually on a junior Olympic post in college. My coach. Was Ed Burke, who's out of Los Gatos now. He's still throwing in Masters, and he's a former Olympian. And it was just a lot of fun.
Wow. Unbelievable. Would you ever thought that?
No.
Well,
I was a shot putter in high school. Maybe you wouldn't have
well,
thought
that's
that.
Well, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Was I was a shot put discus thrower.
Were
and
you?
I met Ed because he was the owner of Los Gatos Athletic Club, and he found that out and wanted to turn me into a hammer thrower right away. But, you know, I'm not... 5'11", you know,
mm-hmm.
not a huge girl, so I had to, I think they were thinking more of a, turning me into more of a decathlete, but,
oh, I
you know,
see.
You only have, what, 5 years to play four?
Yeah, true.
So.
5 years to play four.
Yeah.
That's well, that, true.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Well, that's obviously, that's a not a sport in high school, generally, the
correct.
Hammer.
Yeah, yes,
and so. Just because of the facilities you need to do it.
Exactly.
Always intrigued me. Same with the discus, pretty much, back in my days. That wasn't done in high school.
We had discus. Thank
did you?
But that is because one of our coaches at Del Mar High School was a former Olympian.
Mm.
And he was a discus thrower.
That sounds like an interesting
and
coaching staff.
It was great. It was great. So anyway, yeah, that was a lot of fun. I had to spin out of the ring several times compared to the other big girls.
Wow.
So to go like two or three times versus they're just tossing it out, you know, because they're huge.
So we have
excellent.
A hammer thrower, and now she's armed and dangerous. So.
She's a hammer thrower, so, and she's armed and dangerous.
This is a true North California woman.
Oh, that's so funny,
yeah.
because... Is San Jose Northern California? It is kind of, right? Or is it central to us?
It's in that coastal area.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't consider it Northern California.
Okay.
They don't like hammers and guns.
No, no.
Not, no,
they're,
you're right.
They're Santa Clara County, right?
Yes.
Santa Clara
oh,
County.
Yeah,
yeah
they're asking
totally
to
anti-gun.
Buy them back, I think,
right.
now.
Yeah, yeah, totally anti-gun. So tell me, so you ended up in my class on Saturday. We automatically hit it off. I can tell that you were a trooper. I mean, right off the bat, I could tell you're a trooper. Talk to me about your journey. How did you end up in the class? You came there with some other ladies, right?
Well, my journey to get to the class. So I asked Siri to help me, and she couldn't.
Oh, Ted, bad SEO planning there.
No, not you. I relied on Siri, and that was bad. But anyway, so thank you.
Oh, you mean get to the
yes,
gun
yeah. getting to the
I didn't even,
Siri
I forgot that
on
you
my
late.
iPhone, yeah. Anyway, in April, no, May, early May, you had donated a gift to our Americanism dinner with Reading Republican Women.
That's right.
And one of our ladies won it. And so we thought, why not just, you know, her doing it by herself, why not all of us go together and, you know, make it fun and kind of, you know, we all want to do it. I think a lot of times people put it off. You know, there are so many people out there that are thinking about, oh, I need to get this done, I need to get this done, but... all the hours, and it's a Saturday and a Sunday,
yep.
and that kind of thing. But I'm telling you guys right now, if you're thinking about doing it, you need to do not wait. Get online right now and sign up. It was so fun.
Yeah, and you know what I'm mostly proud of is about 50% of our students are not trying to get a CCW. And right. they'll tell you straightforward, I'm not here to get a CCW. I'm just here to learn how to shoot and the laws surrounding the firearm.
Sure.
And be safe.
And be safe.
Sure.
Yeah. I agree.
To be safe and responsible. And I love that because, I mean, I see you're paying the money to get a CCW, but if you're not even really interested in a CCW, but you are interested in purchasing the firearm and learning how to use it correctly, safely, and responsibly, because, you know, we cover storage and transportation, and then we take you on the range, and it's a long day on the range, right, Maria?
Yes. Yes, sir.
It is. And I've done it several times. Yeah.
We get there about 7:30, and we got off about 1:30 or 2, I think, and we mm-hmm. don't take breaks. I mean, the breaks go by very quickly, and we go from one drill to the next.
No, we were Neanderthals. We just went for it.
Head down.
Yeah.
Muzzles flashing. We got some very good pictures out of that class.
But you're right. There were quite a few women next to me or women that I spoke to that were like, literally, I just took my gun out last night for the first time and like tried to play with it and see, you know, what this is all about. And I was shocked. So
oh, yeah.
you got them from A to Z to feel more comfortable because that same lady that told me that was like, wow, I feel so much more comfortable today.
And safer. More safer. Safe.
Yeah.
More safe. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. Bad Bob, take us to break.
Oh, what a great show we have. 605-4567, the number to call. This portion of the program brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years with outstanding service to all models and makes of heating and cooling systems. Warranties, guarantees, they have 7-day a week and 24-hour service. Alliance Heating and Air, call 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org.
View 202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, View 202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Tensions are high and anticipation is building for the 26th annual Ducky Derby presented by Redding East Rotary. In fact, some ducks are already out there training.
Adopt your duck for $5 and get in on the race for youth development and substance abuse prevention. Everyone wins, and you could be the winner of a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina.
We've got to be ready for September 27th at 1:30 for the big dog.
Plus, second prize is a San Francisco Giants weekend courtesy of InterWest Insurance.
See you there September 27th at 1:30 p.m.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
We are. Don't you know why you've come a long, long way? I've been longing to see you. When she's around, she takes my blues away. Sweet Maria.
Nice. Yeah, we try to suck up to the host a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
that's
say,
always good,
y'all,
man.
Are sweet.
Dr. Maria Salas, our guest today, and of course Dr. Doug McConnell. Now, we were talking at break about the homeless issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep coming back to that just because it's so interesting to me, and everyone's got a different take on it. You know?
Yes.
And we talked about somehow calling out that 35% and the good thing that the mission is doing as far as that goes. But, you know, homeless is an industry all in its own.
It's become one.
Right.
And that is correct.
And that's a problem.
Well, there's a whole industry of support systems and grants.
Right.
And not-for-profits that all are well-intentioned, but... You're right. And that's why I don't like the term homeless, because it's an adjective. It's not really a definition of a diagnosis. In there are the addiction issues, the mental health issues.
It's describing an outcome of all those other things.
Yeah, there's pathways to this. You acquire this adjective through several different pathways.
So what's the new word?
I don't have one. We used to have old words, but they were considered judgmental. We used to use, I remember growing up a kid, my mom and dad would call about hobos.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? That's a negative term.
Yeah.
So but language can be important, particularly when you're talking about social conditions, don't you think, Maria? Okay.
Yeah. Gypsies.
Gypsies would be one.
I mean, travelers.
The Bible has beggar. I mean,
yeah.
And I'm not trying to apply those to these people, but I'm saying in our language we have used a variety of terms. And they're all negative, pretty much, in terms of reflecting negative on people. And in truth, what Nigel is helping us say, no, these are real people behind this, at least for that segment that is restorable. And that's why his program's good, because you would never use those terms.
What about the term transient? Because it kind of implies between one place and the next.
Well, they have no roots, many. Or they actually create their own societies,
yes.
Actually, out there in Peckham.
Their own network,
yes,
as you were describing.
Yeah.
Even the gypsies, they have... families and networks.
Actually, gypsies are really quite organized.
Yes.
But they're transient.
Mm-hmm. They even have religion and
they
church.
Do. Oh, they do. And they have families that mm-hmm. are quite, and traditions and rules and laws that mm-hmm. are unto themselves.
And that's kind
Very
of the key. That's kind of the key, isn't it?
Family.
And the network.
Yes.
You know, we were talking about in order to become homeless, you have to have alienated everybody in your network.
Everybody in your life. Absolutely.
So one of us lost our home. There's very little chance that we become homeless because we have a network of people, in some instances, hundreds deep.
As Dionne Warwick said, that's what friends are for.
That's what friends are for, you know.
Dionne had the right words, in the good times and the bad times. And the truth is, we do well with our networks.
It's the drug addiction and mental illness that causes us to alienate.
Yes, and when it all gets lumped into homeless, then it all gets shadowed and confused, and so we don't really separate the issues, and thus to treat an illness, you have to have a diagnosis. Homelessness is not a diagnosis; it's a symptom of just
something.
Do you think that there is an illness though that brought them to the drugs and alcohol to begin with?
Well, each one has a different journey. I won't pretend to understand
sure.
each one of those individuals, and again, addiction is itself potentially just an end stage issue, but.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we can see on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But the term homeless is a definition of it's a lack. And the truth is, Ted and I said, if you were able to give everybody a home, they'd still have the same issues. Or many of them will. No,
same issues.
Some. And that's why the housing solutions are good potentially for the 35% that are restorable and need shelter. That should only be temporary because that's not an end stage for many.
There are families that are down their luck and need, you know, sheltering. Then the other people, you could give them a house, but how would they manage it? Could they manage it if they're addicted or mentally ill? And so in that report, there are these three pathways we need to explore as a community.
Absolutely.
To restoration.
So if we were to approve and build the housing that they're talking about building down in the Parkview area, would you approve of that on the face, or just disapprove it and go in a different direction?
The question is, are we building the housing because we have a problem with homelessness, which is not a diagnosis? For a good portion of them. And I'm not a social expert. I'm just, you know, in the medical world and emergency rooms and your practices.
Yeah,
we interact with people all the time. So just putting a building up isn't the solution. You do not solve homelessness by building a home, except for those few people or a percentage of the group which are truly they're going to need shelter, and then they're going to need a restoration, which involves jobs and education and family counseling and other issues. But the house is just we focus on the building because it was something you can measure and build. It's a step to the solution for the subgroup of what we now
the 35%
of the 35%, sir.
All right, let's go to the phones. We got Billy Bob.
Oh, the Billy Bob.
The
yes,
Billy Bob.
Good morning. Hey, Ted, great show. You're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for mentioning my call yesterday. It was my point to Francie Sullivan that there has to be some way to stimulate this economy in this area. And construction is our lifeblood. We can become one of the best retirement locations in California with all our recreation, et cetera, et cetera. And my point being is that the moratorium on this incredibly expensive impact piece, meaning these facilities have been in place for years. Patrick Jones, when he was on the council, already did the research and was in favor of reducing these impact fees so that we jumpstart this construction industry. All my friends work construction, all the trade people, carpets, carpenters, concrete. Everybody is looking for the same job. I mean, there used to be lots of jobs around here, but I drive around and I see one or two construction projects going on. And again, this is ridiculous. We can build a retirement community here. All these refugees from the Bay Area, a one-room apartment in San Francisco, one room, is $3,300 in San Francisco rent. Mm-hmm. And there is no reason that we can't jumpstart this economy, get this area back in business, and the city of Redding and Shasta County is standing in the way. They don't need the money. They're giving raises to all their top-tier. A firefighter makes $15,000 a month. Come on, give me a break. I got friends that need a job. Let's get these moratorium on this impact fees, and let's get busy.
More importantly, you're exactly right. Now, Francie made a good point. We had four new commercial buildings in 2014. We already have 17 permitted for this year. Okay, so there was quite a jump there. So we've got some things going on there to the good, Billy Bob, and I want you to feel good about that. The point that you're making is very, very important, and that is the perception that we've got money to give raises or we've got money to pay firefighters and policemen and all that kind of stuff. Yes, they have the money to do it, and of course they make a good wage. They should. They're public safety people. But your point is also a good one, and that is it needs to be looked at and messaged correctly back to the community. Because if you got a good message back, like if she was to tell you, here's the rundown on these impact fees, this is why they cost the money they cost, you might say, yeah, I guess that's what it is. I'm not sure because I don't want to get into the details or down in the weeds of it. But the fact of the matter is, I'm listening to you. I heard your point. And every single voice in this community matters. No matter what you're saying, I'm listening. And leadership should be listening also.
And they might be able to provide also some other communities that are successfully growing. I mean, admittedly, we're coming through a horrible economic time nationally as well as California. So I understand what Billy Bob's saying, but it would be nice to, I really don't know our impact fees isolated from other cities. Are we way above average? Are there places where things are going on, as Billy Bob talks about, that are, have much lower fees? Is that, but the truth is, anything that taxes, as I said before, it's a burden on any part of the economy whenever the government attaches fees, whether they call them fees or taxes. It just detracts or impedes the process of production.
And every documented time point in our history has had taxes that have slowed down one industry or another. And
yes.
they get repealed and they get put back on. And
it's pretty common sense. Yeah. And taxes are necessary, but then the question comes up, how much government's necessary and what does it cost us and what do we get for bang and bug? The whole nation's going through those questions all the time. But so Billy Bob's on the right track. My question is, are the funds within normal range? Are they extraordinarily high and low? I don't know.
Well, that's not our business anyway.
Well, our business, I'm a citizen, so...
No. Yeah. What I'm saying, it's not our business to figure that out. But Billy Bob asked a question, so we should have somebody figuring it out.
I would think, I'd like to know, Billy Bob, are we in a reasonable range for impact fees, or are we out of line compared to other cities that have growth? Yes.
Completely agree.
All right, we're coming up on 8:30 here at KCNR 1460, and this portion of the program is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, 2463 Athens Avenue in Reading, 244-9478. That's Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. It's where Carl gets his hair cut, and gentlemen, it's where you should be getting your hair cut.
Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
45 years, the Reading Civic Auditorium has been an important resource in the North State for entertainment, fundraising events, trade shows, and conferences. In the past 3 years, over $1 million have been put back into this iconic structure. We invite you to be a part of the Civic's revitalization by becoming a member. We think you'll love the benefits, and your support will help to sustain its revitalization and strong community connection. Visit ReadingCivic.com or the box office to become a Reading Civic member.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Listen up, employers. Veterans can be a great asset to your company or organization. Veterans have gained skills in leadership, teamwork, and performance under pressure. Veterans have received the very best training in their fields and are never afraid to tackle a tough situation to accomplish the mission. If you are looking to hire a veteran, the Department of Labor can help you make it happen. You hire a veteran today, you won't be sorry.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay and neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us, East Side Road off of 273.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Read your little gospel, sell a couple bottles of Dr. Good. Please, please, clap and please, we hear it from the people of the town. They call us, please, please, clap and
welcome.
Please.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Ted Leidy here, guest host for Carl and Linda Bott. I have in the studio this morning Dr. Maria Salas.
Hello, welcome back, everybody.
And Dale Ball, leader of Shasta Support Service. Dale, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
And, of course, Bad Bob, our boss man and director this morning.
Very bad, Bob.
Love me some Cher, by the way. Everybody makes fun of me when I say I love me some Cher. I love Cher.
Not this kind of work for this segment.
I'm trying so hard to not break the mic.
I know, I love Cher, man. Lisa will tell you, I listen to Cher a lot. Good morning, Dale. Thank you for coming in and seeing us today. I thought that you were a very appropriate guest, being the one of the leaders of Shasta Support Service. Now, it's Shasta Support Service, not Shasta Support Services, right?
Yes, service.
Okay. And you are a group that goes around and cleans up after the homeless, basically, right?
Correct. One of the many things we do, we are just pretty much a volunteer group. We've helped veterans move equipment from one place to another. We've, you know, helped with quite a few homeless projects that, you know, taken over people's property, and they're going to get fined by the county if it doesn't get cleaned up.
Very good. So talk to me a little bit about how this organization came about, how long ago you guys put it together, because you really have grown quickly.
We have something personally I've been doing for 3 years, but the group has only been about 6 months. We were just pulling shopping carts out of the canal one day, and KRCR rolled up and stuck us on the news. And I think there's just so many people in this town that are upset, angry at the way it's being ran, that they really wanted to come out and help. So it's literally blown up.
Young group, 6 months, but very driven. Yeah, I see you on Facebook all the time.
And you know what I love about the story is they're not standing yelling or pointing. They're like, you know what? We'll let someone else stand and yell and point. We're just going to go to work.
No, you guys are on purpose. You've got a job. In fact, I just noticed here you're teaming up with the city of Reading. And you have something coming up in October?
Yes, we are their river trail cleanup. We're getting involved with and helping out one of the groups there to work on the river trail, do a bunch of cleanup there.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
Very good. So, you got this idea. Were you in a different group, and this is an offshoot of it, or you just pulled out carts one day and said, I'm going to put this together?
Well, the news lady, when we noticed when we were pulling the carts out how much garbage there was there, Stephanie Barnes from KRCR said, hey, if you guys want to come back here and clean the garbage, I'll give you a free plug. So we kind of took it. Michael and myself just back and forth came up with the name, and it kind of went. It's tumbleweeded
awesome.
From there.
You can call it. It's Shasta Support Service. So you can call it S cubed or triple S.
Triple S.
Triple S. That's very good. When you have a headquarters, you can have a ranch. You can call it the Triple S Ranch, which is awesome.
I would hope it, that everybody in the community would get out and just help and volunteer, and even start their own little neighborhood cleanup groups. We've seen a lot of that in the downtown area, and different, people just asking us, hey, you want to come help us? We've partnered up with the mission on quite a few cleanups. It's been really nice to see all the community support.
So Shasta Support Service, how many volunteers do you have at this time?
We have 1,000 members on our Facebook page. The last big cleanup we did in Anderson, we had 140 people showed up to come out and help us out, including the mayor of Anderson, city council people, the assistant city manager. They gave us just tons of love down there.
Boy, let me tell you, the city of Anderson really gets a lot of good press these days, from the police chief to the city council. They're really, really doing a good job as far as I'm concerned. And I think a big part of their fame is messaging their community, right? By being in places like that, by showing up and helping. And what about the city of Anderson as far as their employees on breaks? Are they coming out and helping you also?
We've had the city of Anderson has given us so much support. Once we cleared the property down in Anderson, we've had, fire marshal going out there and helping us patrol, APD going out there and help us patrol to keep it from happening again. We had a huge dumpster down there that overfilled on us, so we just stacked stuff next to it. We came back, and it was full after the waste management had emptied it, and the city employees did it for us.
Impressed. Very, very impressive. Dr. Salas said that your next project was on the River Trail?
Seemed like it was October.
That's in October, so I'm sure something will come up before then. It seems like about every weekend lately, somebody's calling us with some kind of something. We're looking at a property, actually, before the city council meeting today.
Yeah, go to Facebook, Shasta Support Service, and you can find their next project. There's something every weekend, and you get a T-shirt, it looks like. very fluorescent yellow shirt.
Yes, very bright. two cleanups, and we're making people earn their T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
So now's probably a good time to plug those who are supporting you, because I don't imagine you have any fundraising going on. So how do you purchase the T-shirts and that kind of stuff?
Through some great donations we've had. I mean, just like I said, I feel so blessed with the amount of wonderful people I've met through both the volunteers and the community support. You know, some of the big ones have been waste management, helping out with dump fees. Dill's Deli has helped us out a bunch.
Mike,
Dill. Mike.
Good for Woo-hoo! You, Mike.
Mike
Love
Dill.
You, brother.
Yeah, they've been great supporters, and they can't come out and help because they always have a wedding to cater on the weekends.
Oh, yeah.
They're busy.
They're busy, yeah.
They're
during
busy.
The week and on the weekends, yeah.
Yeah, he moves like crazy. So, good. So, Dill's Deli. Did I see Wind River, too, did something for you guys?
Wind River, we did a cleanup down underneath the Clear Creek Bridge, getting that whole waterway cleared out down there. It was just a disaster. We did that this last Saturday. Wind River had a spread of breakfast out like there's no tomorrow.
Wow.
If you've never had their breakfast pizzas, didn't know that existed until I had one. They are awesome.
Very good. Very good. I'm excited about that and excited for the organization.
So when you're cleaning out one of these areas, do the folks give you a hard time about it? You know, what are you doing in our place? Yeah, although it might be a public or a piece of private property that doesn't belong to them. Do they give you, they say, hey, this is our turf, go away?
For the most part, law enforcement has already cleared them, or code enforcement has already cleared them. But I usually go in the week before, keep going in and get everybody cleared completely out of there before we bring volunteers in.
I was wondering.
But I do get that from most of the time, but actually, they know they're doing wrong. They know, I mean, when you look and there's just a big, it looks like a dump, they know they've done wrong. So they usually put their head down and they're more embarrassed than anything.
Yeah, because all the videos I've seen that you guys have, nobody's around. I was like, how is this happening? Nobody's around. But you've cleared them out.
Yeah. Usually I kind of clear them out and I'm usually too busy kind of keeping my head on a swivel when I'm clearing them out and taking video.
Dale, have you been back to a camp that you've cleaned once and re-cleaned yet?
We have. It's the dirty diaper theory. It's not going to just all be perfect right off the bat. The property in Anderson we did, we go back to 2-3 times a week. But like I said, we've had great luck down there with the city of Anderson between code enforcement, the police department, and the fire marshal all helping us with that we're keeping it clean.
To say there's some non-hygienic situations in these locations would be an understatement. How do you protect yourself from Hep C, MRSA staff? I mean, you name it could be there. How do you protect? Do you have some PPE that you have to wear before you even touch anything?
We try to get everybody to, you know, wear their gloves, their boots, and for the most part, we've really got down to where we're using, you know, rakes, pitchforks, and, you know, the grabbers to pick up the trash so you're not physically touching it.
Yeah, because, oof.
Brent Weaver was on the show yesterday, and he talked a little bit about the shopping cart, the new shopping cart ordinance that's getting ready to come into effect. And, you know, at first, the leader in me, said, wait a minute, we can't be blaming the victim here because they're the victims of theft. But the more I think about it and the more I talk to you, Dale, I'm kind of coming around on the idea that Brent was talking about yesterday, where you have to kind of force these big box stores into putting a process together to come and get their own carts, really.
It pretty much does come down to that, and we've been pushing this with Brent for months now. We basically gave him a proposal, and we kind of took what some other cities have already done. The big box stores just refused to come pick up their carts. I don't know what store owner, a local owner, would, you know, just leave thousands of dollars worth of stuff laying out at a property somewhere. So this ordinance has to be put in place, and these big box stores all have a policy already set up as soon as there is an ordinance like that to take to get these carts.
So we just have to get the ordinance down, approved, and watch the policy take effect, and somehow they'll have some way of getting these carts back themselves. Because I know many large cities down in the Bay Area, they all have ordinances in effect already.
Oh, yes, all of them do. We actually, I think the one we put in the proposal was from the city of Livermore, had a great, pretty straightforward, you know, ordinance. And I know the city of Redding's with Chief Paletti and Brent really tweaked it around to, you know, to, for our Northern California up here. And it's going to be a good thing for our town.
Good for the chief and good for Brent Weaver. What's the most common cart of interested?
Well, you know,
you could give a hint if you're not
comfortable.
Oh no, I'm totally comfortable. Okay. It would be a toss up: Walmart, Safeway, and 99-cent store.
Well, see, that's interesting because I guess 99-cent store and the dollar store are different because I know dollar store they have those locks on them, so I don't know if 99 cents is different.
99-cent, yes, is different by a whole penny.
Well, I thought they were. I thought they all were owned together.
No, separate stores. The dollar stores are the green carts. We get maybe 1 out of 100 of those. Mm-hmm. The 99-cent store, they're just piled up everywhere.
Okay.
I wonder if that's a geographic phenomenon. I wonder if it's because where you're cleaning, there happens to be a 99-cent store in the area.
No.
You think that could be it?
No, it's not taking care of your shopping carts. When they're left out in the parking lot at night and people can just grab them versus the dollar store that actually secures their carts, there's your difference.
There you have it, Big Bob.
It is 8:45 on KCNR 1460. Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Your place for great coffee and more at Espresso Joe's, serving caramel macchiato and every other coffee you can imagine. Walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in California, proudly serving the finest in your tobacco needs. T&B, where veterans always get discounts, 61 degrees in Redding. And we'll be back with more Free Fire Radio after this.
Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I'd like to thank everyone for their patience on deliveries. Having the boys on the fire has been tough, but bear with us and we will get to you, I promise. Danny's driving truck also, so give the girls in the office a call and we'll take care of your delivery. Kathy's got more forklift tanks coming in any day now. Robin in Corning has barbecue bottles on the exchange program, so give her a call. She's got red diesel at the pump or deliveries to your farm, ranch, or orchards. Joe at Weaverville's been very busy with the loggers and the firefighters at all of our CFN and Visa card locks. And remember, we have card locks in South Reading at the Muse Yard, open 24/7. Northern Lights Energy, supporting our local families and firefighters. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday, I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear you. This morning, it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing signs!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Hey, this is Carl Bott here to tell you about the good folks at Muse Concrete. Boyce and Joan Muse, along with their fantastic crew, have been bringing homes, parks, stadiums, and so much more to the Reading community for over three decades. Muse Concrete is also proud to bring exciting programs like high school football and Reading Colt 45's baseball to the airwaves right here on KCNR 1460. Muse Concrete, an uncompromising commitment to quality and integrity since 1982. Check them out online, museconcrete.com. Great people doing great work.
Sip wine. Sample microbrews. Enjoy specialty appetizers and a sit-down dinner. Sway to the Lou White Band. Raise your paddle for live auction items. Bid on silent auction items. Purchase a balloon for special surprises. View video of rescued animals. All this and more at the 8th Annual Bark Wine and Brew Gala, October 3rd at Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Supporting Haven Humane Society as they protect the lost, abused, and abandoned animals of our area. Purchase your tickets online at havenhumane.org or call 241-5262.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Ten minutes in front of 9 o'clock, and here you're KCNR, 1460, the home of community talk radio, where there's lots of talking going on. Mighty Fine Foods on the way to the lake. 299 Deschutes in Bella Vista. Dreyer's Ice Cream by the Scoop. Ice cream floats. Over 1,000 cold drinks, including 250 beers and 350 liquor and wine choices, and daily deli specials under $5. Barbecue every Friday. All this and so much more. Mighty Fine Foods on the way on to the lake. 299 in Deschutes Road in Bella Vista.
Welcome back. On the way to Reading Gun Club, right?
That's right. Right on the way to Reading Gun Club.
Mighty Fine Foods.
Home Gun Club of Northern Firearms Instruction. Yeah, Mighty Fine Foods is actually pretty good. I go down there quite a bit and buy stuff from the club, you know. I have lunch and stuff down there. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Besides that, Mighty Fine Foods. So, that's a great name.
Yeah, everybody's loving Dale this morning.
Yeah.
You're getting a lot of good comments. Okay.
Back with Dale Ball.
You are doing fine. I knew you would, is one of your comments. It's a great interview, Dale. You're so awesome. Now you're really going to have to give out your autograph.
Oh, man.
Boy, I might be able to get a whole penny and a half for one of those.
I'll tell you how to give away one of those Shasta Support Service T-shirts. As long as they volunteer to give you 8 hours, give it away on the radio.
I should have brought you one in, Ted. Honestly, I was running around with my head cut off this morning.
No, I love it.
We actually, you know, most of us volunteers all have real jobs to do also.
Exactly.
Right.
Funny that.
And that's important. I mean, it's important for people to understand your sacrifice. I mean, you're in your earning years. You're in your accumulating years. You're trying to get your retirement down and all that kind of stuff, but you still give up your weekends to go do this. And as far as I'm concerned, it's incredible.
It really doesn't seem like giving up my weekends anymore. We have such an awesome group of volunteers. We have fun while we're out cleaning up trash, believe it or not. It gets quite comical sometimes.
Yeah, and you've created your own a new family, basically, of people maybe that you wouldn't have met before, and now you know them, and you guys are all on purpose with the same mission. And
we definitely have, you know, people from all walks of life, mm-hmm. and there's definitely some people I probably would have never met, and mm-hmm. it is a family of mm-hmm. really great people that have big hearts that want to help. They just want to do something to help get our town a little bit better.
Thank God for people like this, right?
I know it. Without screaming and yelling and gnashing of teeth and baring of claws and picking on each other. So.
Yeah, it's from love and not fear-based.
Yeah,
you know?
Very good. And it's a great way to make a difference. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of making a difference, you said that you were recently in Anderson where you got an award from the city council.
They gave us a proclamation of, you know, doing for what we did down there with the property that was... It was a 50-acre property. We hauled over 25,000 pounds of trash out. It was, you know, very humbling to have the support from the town.
How about, have you done any work? You're teaming up with the city of Reading in October, but have you have done anything with them in the past?
Oh, interesting question. Someone just wanted to ask that.
We've not really worked with the city of Reading. We've worked in the city of Reading on, you know, we've hauled thousands and thousands of pounds of trash out of the city of Reading. That's where we, you know, got our start.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Angie Watson, who I believe is going to be on tomorrow, was wondering, how much help have you received from the city of Reading?
Not a lot, but I mean, the city of Reading did get an ordinance passed because we were paying our own dump fees, and we did get where if it's off of public property, the city is giving us or any neighborhood watch group of any type that's doing a cleanup, you can actually get a voucher and they will pay the dump fees for
you. Okay, so it's slowly but surely we need to get the word out. Shows you being on shows like this will help, right?
Great. some of the city of Reading, I think, just needs to open their ears up and listen to what the whole town has to say, not just what I or our group. The whole town knows what the problem. Mm-hmm. They just need to listen.
Perception is reality. That's the key. And really, so the next step in that ordinance is to get you for them to open up for free dump fees on private property, right? Because a lot of these camps are on private property. Am I correct?
Yes, they go into a person's private property. They use their shopping cart to haul in tonnage. The neighbors in the neighborhood will, finally figure out what's going on. They turn it over. Code enforcement comes in and hits them with, you either clean it up or you're going to get hit with X amount of dollars per day. Some of these people just don't have the money. So that's where we've kind of came in and tried to help them out. But, we're still having to come up with the dump fees somewhere.
What about the city of Anderson? The dump fees for the city of Anderson, do they have some sort of way of relief on that?
They do not yet. The big cleanup we did that down there, actually Waste Management waived all the fees. They took care of the whole thing for us.
So really, we've got people coming out of the woodwork to help you guys as far as city leadership goes on both ends.
Yes. We've had great support from the city of Reading as far as, meeting with, council members, meeting with different people out at the dump, and they've given us great support.
I know the city of Reading is listening right now, so that makes me feel really good about this show, because they know that you've got the community behind you. And
you really do. I mean, you have over 1,000 members on the Facebook page. Not 1,000, over 1,000.
Oh, yes. I guess I haven't checked it.
No, well, I checked.
I've been busy out in the dump piles.
Yeah, I know that's not big to you, but the word's getting out.
Yeah, his humility is incredible.
I know.
I love him for it.
Yeah.
Makes me want to hug him. What's your number one need?
Boots on the ground?
I'm trying not to get myself in trouble here.
Okay.
So
yeah.
there's definitely the need for the city of Reading to enforce existing camping laws.
Boom.
There's illegal camping laws
done.
On our books.
Said.
There's illegal fires, and instead the city of Reading hands out 7-day notices.
I think that that was well put. I don't want to get myself in trouble, but really that's, and I hope they're listening.
How can you get in trouble?
Well, Dale, not me. I'm just saying, Dale, he stepped lightly right there, and I loved it because really, you would get other people in here who would hammer the city of Reading, and there's no sense in hammering them.
I want to work with them, not against them.
Exactly. And, no, it's a partnership all around.
But sometimes a little constructive criticism is need.
Yeah. I totally agree.
And I'm going to be at city council meeting tonight, and I don't want them throwing stuff at me either.
Oh, no, nobody.
That's
won't.
Very true.
Everybody loves you.
Yeah, that's very true. So, what about the city of Anderson? They don't hand out the 7-day permits? I mean, is there a difference in process there?
No, they do not hand out 7-day notices. I mean, keep throwing garbage in this creek for 7 more days. What part of that even makes any sense?
Wow. I guess we have to look into that. There's a difference in policy between the city of Reading and the city of Anderson.
There's difference in the county. There's difference in, Eureka, I think, hands out a 24-hour notice, and they're probably one of the liberalest towns around. And we just saw here in the news, I think 2 weeks ago, that they're going to pass some new ordinances, just like Chico. I don't know if we saw in the news last night. They're going to really hammer down on leaving personal properties on city property.
Good. I think it needs to happen. So,
I have learned so much today.
I know it.
Yeah.
Today and tomorrow is going to be excellent. We've got about just a few minutes left. Dale, I just wanted to thank you for coming in today. I knew it was going to be a great guest, man. You showed up and you exceeded all my expectations. And thank you so much, Shasta Support Service, Mike Roberts, the rest of you that lead that that lead that organization. And I want to look at Dr. Salas right now and say, you've got an event you want to talk about before we go off the air.
Oh, yeah. We've just got a few minutes left. Everybody should show up this weekend, this Saturday, the 19th. Purchase your tickets online for the Gatekeeper Shining Care event. There are going to be a lot of celebrities there. And we are going to be pouring wine and beer. I'm going to be teamed up with Rick Bassetti. Woohoo!
All right.
Me and Rick. Karen Hoyt is going to be out from Shasta Regional. Mike Lampella, Mimi Mosley, Todd Jones, Tracy Lynn. Woohoo! It's been
love
fun.
Love me some Mimi Mosley.
I love me some Mimi Mosley.
She's
too.
Everywhere now.
Yeah.
I love her.
Awesome event.
Yeah, so come have fun with us on the Diesel Horse Bridge. Go to CompassShiningCare.com to get your tickets.
CompassShiningCare.com.
Yeah. Anyway, perfect. We got a minute left. You got to close us out, buddy.
We got a minute. All righty. I'm Ted Lighty from Welcome to Free Fire Radio. I'm Ted Lighty, Dr. Maria Salas, Dale Ball from Shasta Support Service.
Man, you're going to fall apart on me in the last segment.
No. He's good.
I was into her event, man. I was thinking about all that beer and wine that was going to go on.
We should mention Dr. Maria is, of course, has been with us for quite some time here at KCNR, part of our on-air family.
Yeah.
And you have certainly grown and prospered your show and a well-known name, and you've made yourself quite a voice in the community.
Wow.
Absolutely. And we should close down this show by asking if Rocky Slaughter had found his dream girl yet. I know that kept coming on yesterday, talking about Rocky Slaughter's girlfriend or a date. So if anybody has seen her or knows of her, please, tomorrow on Free Fire Radio, give us a call. And let's make sure he.
So I get to put up with you again.
So you're
tomorrow.
Back tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be here tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and we got Angie Watson from Take Back
Reading
tomorrow.
Ange.
Alrighty. Well, thank you very much. Coming up on SRN News, the top of the hour, then Laura Ingraham right here on KCNR, the home of community talk radio.
Hill, but I won't back down.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. There's a tentative agreement to end the five-day-old Seattle teachers' strike, but until the deal's been approved, picketing will continue. Two students are dead, three other people seriously injured, a school bus accident in Houston this morning. The bus plunged off an overpass. Houston Police spokesman Victor Santia says the driver of the car that hit the bus is being questioned.
Apparently the driver that was in the Buick LeSabre believed that there was another vehicle that was drifting into her lane, and she tried to swerve out of the way to avoid from getting struck by that vehicle. She in turn, in the Buick, struck the bus,
which was bound for Furr High School at the time. Small town of Hilldale, Utah is reeling from flash floods that swept away a couple of vehicles, killing at least eight people. Five others are missing. Too many people find themselves in this sad state of affairs in Northern California.
Oh, it's totally destroyed. There's nothing left.